When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
It's exciting time for myself, the franchise, the coaching staff, the personnel department. I'm sure it's an exciting time for you guys doing what you do and covering the team. The draft's an opportunity for us to improve the roster, through the draft capital that we have. And, you know, again, we have, you know, different needs throughout the roster, and we have several plans that we're still working through. The board will probably be set, you know, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, just in terms of our preparation and step away from it this weekend to prevent the paralysis by analysis, staring at things, moving guys this much versus, you know, other players. So a lot of work has went into this between the coaching staff, the personnel staff, everybody in this building, from, you know, the 30 visits, the meals, the coordination, the travel. So really, you know, a team effort, and a lot of people have their hands in the process and, you know, what leads up to draft weekend. So with that being said, I'll open up for questions.
Joe, when you and Dave's and your staff evaluate these quarterbacks, either in person or film, I know you watch a ton of film, you've seen a lot of these kids in person, what are some of the things you kind of focus in on when you study these guys?
Yeah, I mean, all positions have different critical factors that we focus in on. So, I mean, with the quarterback position, you know, we've been through this before with Dave's and I, and it's not just what you see on film. I think I've said this before. At this particular position, you can take what you see on film, but I think it's equally as important what you can't see on film and spending time with the prospects, not just at that position, but, I mean, that's a reason we bring in, you know, several prospects from different positions. For the 30 visits, we go and have private workouts, not with just with quarterbacks, but other positions as well. So again, I think the film is one thing, but also evaluating who they are as people and how they'll fit into your culture and your franchise is equally important. So again, that's across all positions.
Joe, given the resources you have, you only have 6 picks this year. I imagine you don't really want to touch next year's picks just yet. So how do you kind of balance the temptation to move up and where to move up in this draft?
Yeah. My job is to do what's best for the franchise. So if there's an opportunity to go up, move back, stay, whether it's in the first round, third round, fifth round, that's what we'll do. But you take all that into account, Patty, when you're making those type of decisions. And you know, again, that's some of the planning and strategy and some of those meetings that we'll have over the next couple of days. And, you know, the what ifs, if this, then, and you go back and forth on it. And the good thing is you have the first round on Thursday. You can, you know, regroup, you know, going into Friday before the second and third round and have those conversations again. So, you know, the draft being over a 3-day period helps you in terms of when you have those meetings and those strategy sessions, when you decide if you're going to go up, down, you know, which players you like. And so that those are all things that we'll talk about over the next week or so.
I asked you about trade value chart, right? Obviously, and every other team has trade value charts. Have you found your experience? Is there like a quote-unquote quarterback tax? Like if you're moving up for a quarterback, do teams try to attract more?
Yeah, I would say that's probably true, Dan. I would say that's true. Like if people know what you're coming up for, depending, you know, again, I've been involved with this with Buffalo, it probably wasn't as high, but, you know, I do think Tampa Bay knew what we were doing. So I do think, you know, that happens for that position.
I asked you about it, I think, at the combine, about how open you think the top 3 teams would be to trading. Granted, that was early then. At this point, do you have a sense, do you feel like they're amenable to probably, I'm strictly talking probably about the number three pick, open to, you know, making a move if, you know, the offer is right there?
Yeah, it's hard to say. And then two, being in the division, you know, that's a difficult one. You know, typically if you know, you're talking in the top 10 of the draft, trading with somebody within the division. So yeah, I mean, otherwise, I don't think anybody's ready to move right now. I know, you know, people are listening, which we'll all do that, you know, from, you know, teams behind us or moving up. I think those exploratory talks and conversations will happen here shortly. You know, we just finished up 30 visits, and as you're well aware, some other teams still had some, you know, large groups, small groups, whatever it may be. So you're still gathering information. We can still have Zooms with players for, you know, up until Wednesday. So, you know, I think teams are still getting to know some of these prospects or any loose ends that they need to tie up before the draft. So I think teams, you know, again, those conversations will happen over the next, I would say, you know, 48 to 72 hours. Those will start happening. You'll get a feel for, you know, who's open to moving and who's not.
Joe, philosophical question when it comes specifically to quarterbacks. As a general manager, what would be a bigger regret? Swinging and missing at a quarterback, or passing on a guy you had an opportunity, maybe that you loved, you know, pass on that guy and then watch him star somewhere else?
Who's the other guy?
Specific quarterback. You know what?
Pass on a quarterback,
and then he becomes a star for somebody else. Rather than swinging and missing.
You got to be comfortable. We're having all those conversations now, and it's not just the quarterback position. Again, there's other positions, and when they're on the same level, that's where a lot of times, if you got a corner on this line and a defensive tackle on this line, that's where you take in a team need if you see them equally in terms of how you see the prospect and the grades that you have on them. So you let your board talk to you, you go through all these conversations, and, you know, again, we're going to do what's best for the franchise, and all of our meetings and all of our preparation and when we set the board is all what's best for the New York Giants. So I'm confident we're going to get a good player next Thursday, whatever position that is. And, you know, we'll sleep good at night knowing we did all the preparation and, you know, we let the board talk to us.
Joe, you mentioned just before, half kidding around, paralysis by analysis.
Yeah.
But obviously, you got to do your due diligence. But do you have to guard against everybody overthinking it, kind of maybe be careful that you don't outsmart yourselves?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Because I mean, every waking moment, this is what we're all thinking about is the draft. And it's not just the first round, it's the second round, making sure that we have the players stacked. If three players at our position are there, that we're sure that we like them the way that they're stacked. And we're working through a lot of those now. But yeah, you can go round and round and round. And at some point, somebody has to make a decision. And when we're going through those some film sessions, we've been doing film all morning together as a staff and working through where the discrepancies are, if that makes sense. You know, whether the coaches like him a little bit higher than we do, or the stack is different. So we actually get in a room together and, you know, we say, hey, this is how you're going to utilize him. This is how we see him as a personnel staff. And let's roll up our sleeves. Let's watch the film. Let's talk through it while we're watching it. And then ultimately, you know, we got to make a decision on how they stack on the board. So that's what we're trying to get through the next 2 days, any type of discrepancies. That way I can, you know, prevent myself from the paralysis by analysis, because you can go back and forth. And, you know, I like when the draft is getting, you know, as it's getting closer, I can stop going through all these scenarios and rest easy at night once these decisions have been made.
Joe, there's some talk that this draft is very deep at wide receiver. First of all, would you agree with that? And there's also a lot of talk that there were three guys in this draft at receiver who could be number one receivers in other years. Do you kind of see that shaping up that way as well?
Yeah, I do think it's a deep receiver draft. I do think there are, again, they come in different shapes and sizes and speeds. But I do think it's a deep, you know, wide receiver draft from top to bottom, depending on what you're looking for. So, you know, some added value with guys, the new kickoff rules, and the guys that can also do returns. You know, I think there's an added element there too. And there's some receivers that can wear multiple hats, not just as a receiver, but also as returners. So, yeah, I do think it's a good draft. And again, I don't know however people have them ranked, but just in general, for your question, I think it is a good draft from the receiver position. I think there will be several taken in the first round.
And And just one more follow up to that. And you know, you mentioned wide receiver, you know, the number one target. You know, every you know offensive coach would like that. How much?
I said that.
What's that?
When did I say that?
You said especially with a head coach who's an offensive guy, you know, that he would certainly like it. You definitely said that. Yeah. More than once. You didn't say that would be the pick, obviously, or else we'd never be here.
Right.
How much you think that is missing, has been missing from the offense, and how much can that do for an offense if you draft a guy at number six who you say this is a stud and we're putting him into our offense now?
Yes, having an offensive head coach, you're right. Yeah, I probably definitely said that at some point. But no, I mean, it can really help you out. And especially the way we're constructed now, you know, Jalin Hyatt can take the top off, you know, Wandell working in the slot. I think you could really see what he was able to do late in the season when he was finally healthy. And, you know, Darius Slayton's been uber consistent, you know, during his time. And then, you know, again, if you add another, you know, wide receiver there, whether it's in the top 10 or later in the draft, because of the depth of the class, you know, I do think it gives you, you know, options, and it's going to help, you know, the offense in general. We have to score more at the end of the day. We need to score more points, and adding a, you know, if it's a number one receiver or whatever you want to call it, just a better receiving weapon is going to help everybody.
The roster with Darius obviously not being here for voluntary workouts and wanting a new contract, does that change how you view the roster going into the draft, and are you open to those negotiations?
Yeah, no, that doesn't change anything. These are voluntary workouts. You know, there's been players since I've been here that haven't been here, and I understand that. I love Darius. Michael Parrott's his agent. He's a very good friend of mine. I understand where he's coming from, and that's his prerogative to not be here, but they are voluntary workouts, so you know that's understood.
So you were in Buffalo. What was the one determining factor that made Brandon want Josh Allen?
Oh, there was more than one. Yeah. I
mean, was there one tiebreaker, one intangible or tangible?
No, I mean, it's again, that position is so unique. It was a combination of, you know, a lot of things. I mean, his size, his arm talent, he played in the elements, unbelievable kid. Leadership. I mean, he checked a lot of boxes. I think it's important to check a lot of boxes at that position, not just one in particular.
You mentioned when a team is trading up for a quarterback that sometimes the draft chart goes out the window a little bit and you have to pay a little bit more. When there's two teams that are potentially interested in going up for that quarterback, does it, that bidding war commence in a way? And then is there a step away point where you have to be like, okay, we're starting to get to a number here that's just, we can't go there?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been in a draft where at least not that I can think of off the top of my head, where we move back with a team that's coming up with, you know, for a quarterback or bidding team. So I'm not sure how that would work out. I really haven't been a part of that, but yeah, in any negotiation, if you have leverage, you're going to be able to probably get what your asking price is. So whether it's football or any walk of life, leverage helps in any deal. So I think if somebody's trying to, you know, move up, again, it could be the third round, it could be the second round, and there's multiple bidders, you're going to take the best deal, I would assume.
What about being one of the, potentially being in a situation where you're one of those teams trying to go up with another team?
Yeah, if you're trying to move, I mean, you don't know what everybody else is doing. I have no way to know what, you know, the other 31 teams are doing. But to your, you know, back to your first question, absolutely. There's a walk away point on everything. Again, just in any negotiation, there's a, what are you comfortable spending? And then, you know, is it worth it or not? And then you got to be comfortable walking away and going to your, you know, your plan B or, you know, whatever it may be. If you can't get up for that player, okay, well, who's going to be there when you're picking and be ready to execute then?
Throughout your tenure here now, you're going to draft three. How strategic would you say you are in terms of your planning, your evaluation, even going back to January, of putting everything together? And is that schedule flexible, or do you pretty much have it all the way laid out through the visits ending yesterday as to what you're going to do, and are you pretty comfortable with what process you have set up now?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the process. And I think, again, as we set the board, you get a pretty good idea of who's going to be there when you're picking, or in generality, where you can, you know, if you need a tight end, okay, well, where does that look like? There's depth in the draft, or, you know, how many guys are going to go high? You know, some drafts, there aren't a lot of receivers like this year. and you know maybe the first receiver goes in the second round. So every draft is different. It's unique based on the players that you're getting from college. So you plan and make your plan A, B, C, D, whatever it may be, based off your board, and then you know your team needs. Where can you acquire those picks? And you know, hey, if you don't get a corner here, where's the next chance you're going to get him? Okay, well, we better take him in the fourth round because we don't have another corner on the board. So you take all that stuff into account, you know, the further you get in the draft. You know, a lot of times, again, like I said earlier, if guys are on the same line, you're going to go with need at some point, or if you already took some in that position. So we go through all those, you know, scenarios right now, and then it's flexible as you go through the draft based on what you've taken previously, if that makes sense.
Joe, where are you with Darren Waller right now?
Yeah, we're giving Darren his space. We've had conversations with Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, and he's kept us in the loop on Darren. So we're giving him space. Hopefully he's going to make a decision here in the short term. But, you know, we're giving him time and his space to make a decision on what he wants to do.
Joe, wouldn't that be helpful before the draft for you? Have you given him at that kind of a timeline at all?
No, we haven't given him a deadline.
Joe, Darius, just to follow up for 1 second.
Mm-hmm. How open are you to, you know, adjusting or extending his contract?
Yeah, we haven't had conversations about any type of extension.
Where is when you say you understand where he's coming from, is that a way of you saying that you intend to try to address that later this offseason?
Or yeah, that's a good question. I understand where he's coming from because I've had communication with his agent. That's all that is. Yeah, we just signed the deal, you know, a little over 12 months ago. It was a 2-year deal. And you know, again, so I understand where he's coming from based on our conversations is what I meant by that.
Where is Daniel? How is he progressing?
Daniel's doing well. He's running straight line and he's throwing. So there haven't been any setbacks. So hopefully, you know, he's on track for a training camp. I believe he said that the other day, and that's the plan as long as there's, you know, no setbacks.
So what about Evan? Coming in, do you find, historically speaking, that the draft tends to tilt more to that new coordinator's needs, or do you feel that, you know, there's a good core in place that you can be flexible?
Yeah, I think right now that we have enough needs that it could go either way, you know, offense or defense. You know, I think we're not one player away or two players. So I think, you know, Shane coming in has been phenomenal with his communication and articulating what he's looking for in his scheme. And, you know, we've had really good communication with him throughout this pre-draft process in terms of what players fit his scheme and, you know, again, the value where we can get those players. So, yeah, Shane's been a really good addition and, you know, enjoyed my time working with him this far.
How's Evan progressing?
Evan's progressing well. Saw him on, I guess it would be Monday. We had a team meeting and looks good and good spirits and, you know, he's progressing well.
He hasn't had any setbacks since we last talked to you.
No.
Draft day like for you, especially as picking years? What is that like? In the world?
Yeah, it's a lot of our work and the preparation, especially in the first round. Last year was a little bit more stressful because when you're picking further back in the draft, where this year it's six, it makes it a little bit easier because you could say, okay, here's six names, here's how we like them, here's our different scenarios, and you can go from there. So the first round is, I'm pretty calm, to be honest with you, just because you've done all the work and no matter how it pans out, you've got your stack and how you like the players. Last year, again, was a little, you know, there's a little bit more anxiety and uncertainty because to us last year, the draft didn't really start till pick 15. And now you're starting to narrow down who's going to be there where, you know, picking this high, it's a little bit different, but pretty calm because all the work and the preparation that, you know, the staff, the coaches, all of us have done leading up to the draft. So usually feel pretty good about our board. And, you know, again, as you go through it, the board talks to you and a lot of the decisions have already been made.
Joe, you said that you're not one or two players away in this year's draft, so you could go either way. How does that impact your decision on whether or not you move up and what you give up, what you're willing to part with to move up?
Yeah, I haven't said we're going to move up or we will or we won't, but it impacts, do we stay? Do we, you know, surprisingly at six, we've gotten a lot of calls from people behind us. So I didn't think it would be, I didn't think I'd have as much activity at six from people behind me as we've gotten. So those are options too, as we look at, you know, if we go back, how far back do we want to go? Is this team for, okay, then to the stack I was just talking about, okay, now there's 10 names instead of six or 15 names instead. Where does it make sense for us to move back and what else can we get with that? So we're taking all that, whether we go up, back, stay, all that's, you know, being talked about right now as we're going through it.
lead to a more active draft day? Do you expect more calls going in there, given the fact that you've gotten so many
calls? Yeah, it could be. It could be. I mean, I think, again, everybody's assuming who's going number one. I think we can all agree that it's probably going to happen, and it's going to be Caleb. And then, you know, the draft starts at two and see what Washington does. And then, you know, again, there's rumors of teams behind us wanting to come up and some of the calls we've received. So, yeah, we'll go through. You know, again, we don't know what's going to happen at 2, 3, 4, 5, or people are going to come up behind us. But those are all things that we're talking about and going through different scenarios.
Joe, you try to gather intel on what those teams are ahead of you going to do, like, and how good a handle do you think you have? Not that you're necessarily share with us, but like, how do you go about it, and what is your handle on it?
Yeah, what I do personally is on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, depending what I'm thinking about doing or what I'm interested in doing, I'll call the general managers. You know, I'll call each team and just check in and. What are you looking to do? Are you looking to move up? You know, I may be willing to go back. I may be looking to go up, depending on who it is. And you have those exploratory conversations if they'd be open to it. And then, you know, it's, hey, okay, circle back or text me, you know, the pick before you're on the clock or if we want to come up. So you'll gather the information. The most of the stuff I gather is, you know, it's word of mouth with the actual general managers. If they would be interested in doing, you know, Trent Baalke last year, we'd had that conversation during the day, depending how the board falls. You know, again, we were a little bit worried about some teams maybe coming up behind us to take Tay. But we also had, you know, contingency plans with some teams to move back at that point too. So a lot of those conversations were had the day of the draft, that morning leading up to it. So you knew what the teams around you were doing and looking to do. So that's typically where I get most of that.
How selective are you when you're making those calls? Like, do you have to lean on general managers that you have relationships with, or do you feel free to call a guy that you might not have a relationship with? And, you know, how do you balance the idea of how much information you want to give versus you don't want to give away your plans?
Yeah, and there's not a lot of detail in those conversations, so you really don't get into, what you want to do. But hey, I may be looking to move up if one of the players there that I'm interested in. You don't say, hey, if John Smith's there, I want to come up. So you don't give that much information. You just, you know, hey, if would you be interested in moving back? And then it's more just touch and base, and then through text or a phone call when you're on the clock. So comfortable calling, you know, every team and their decision maker. Just, yeah, definitely not, you know, showing our cards.
How conscious are you of that? Not giving away too much information, because I've heard from many people where, you know, Joe Shane is keeping people guessing as to what the Giants are going to do. Is that a conscious process for you?
Yeah, I would say, especially at six, you know, where we're picking, I think, you know, again, at 25, it's a little bit, you know, it's, you're so far back there, you don't really know what's going to happen ahead of you. So, yeah, I think at six, it's important to, you know, keep things close to the vest and, you know, again, so you can, you know, there's a competitive advantage to that, to people not knowing what you're thinking or which way you're going to go. And got to have a lot of trust, you know, when you're there, when you do have conversations, again, with people behind you looking to come up or whatever it may be. So, yeah, you try your best to keep your cards close.
You're determining how aggressive you want to be and potentially moving up. How much do you weigh your early evaluations on next year's draft, like what you think that class could be when you're thinking about potentially parting with future picks?
Yeah, not just draft, but free agency. Like, what's that market going to, you're always looking at that, you know, the market in the future and who's become available. But you can only weigh that so much. I'll never forget. I was living in Texas at the time, and I was golfing with one of the Carolina Panthers scouts the day that Andrew Luck decided he was going to go back to school. So as much as you can, you don't know what's going to happen, or Tua was coming out and Tua got hurt, but you know what I mean? Like, there's a player that you like and they could get hurt. They could decide to go back to school. Dennis Hickey, our assistant director of player personnel, I think he said we had 170 players that we had draftable grades on that went back to school. So again, with the NIL, and I mean, it's like, you know, you can look at it and prepare for it, but there's no guarantee that, you know, those players will get through their college season healthy. They'll actually come out, you know, so you can try to predict as much as you want, but there are variables that can affect that as well. Go ahead, Pat.
Has Michael Penix Jr. acquitted all concerns or possible concerns about his injury history in your mind? And then kind of a follow-up to that would be, are you more reticent right now than you would have been a year ago maybe to take a chance on a guy who has an injury history? Or is it just the same as it ever was with that?
No, I think we always take that into account. We have to listen to our medical professionals. So, you know, again, we've We've unfortunately had some issues with injuries the last couple of years since I've been here. So you want to stray away from, you know, those, you know, injury risks the best you can. And, you know, without, I'm not going to get into specifics on Michael. It's well documented, the injuries that he had while he was at Indiana. But, you know, he has been healthy at Washington and played, you know, two full seasons there. So, you know, a lot of times those are indicators, even if it's not, you know, again, we'll go back to John Smith, and he had an ACL his sophomore year, but it hasn't swollen. It hasn't been swelled up, and he hasn't missed any games or had it aspirated or anything like that. You usually lean on how the patient responds to those surgeries and how they perform. So we had our medical meeting Monday night, and we didn't lose too many people. That's always a scary meeting for us because, okay, which one of these players that we love are going to be disqualified because of medical, or they advise that we don't take them. And we didn't lose a lot of players this year, luckily.
Joe, given the temptation to draft your own franchise quarterback at six or above, how much pressure do you feel to get this right?
I feel like we can go several different ways. There's several different options that we can take, and we're going to be okay. So I'm comfortable where we are in terms of whatever we do.
You said obviously the season you guys needed to add a quarterback, you know, just basically it's the way the roster was. You added Drew. Do you still feel like you need or want to add a quarterback in the draft?
I don't think so. I think with, you know, Drew's experience, you know, he started games and played, and, you know, Daniel's experience, and then what Tommy did last year, another year in the system, Tommy's come a long way. So no, I think we could go in with the season with the three that we have, and, you know, I'd be comfortable with that.
Is it different? I mean, when you're looking at quarterbacks in seventh round, so you can take a guy in the sixth or seventh round who can be a special teams guy or maybe can develop into a nickelback or something. But a quarterback, I mean, when you draft a guy in the later round, you know, is that something you believe in? And you say, well, I don't know if this guy's ever going to be a great starter, but he just adds to the room. You know what I mean? It's different because he may not add
anything. You're saying quarterback?
A quarterback, yeah. He may not add anything to your team for a couple of years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He may not be a guy you think can win a Super Bowl for you, but, yeah, he'll add to our room. You know what I mean? It's different than other positions, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's not, okay, you're going to be a backup guard and you're going to go to the game and you can play, you know, if somebody gets injured, you can go play center or guard, or, you know, there's flexibility to be one of those eighth offensive linemen. So, you know, the hit rate at that position in those rounds you're talking about is not high. And, you know, again, you hope typically if you're going to take a guy down there that they can develop into a good number two. Again, just from a financial aspect, you know, Drew's making $5 million. Well, that player's in the fifth round, if he can develop into a number two, is saving you money over a four-year period versus, you know, a Tyrod or Drew or, you know, whoever some of the backup quarterbacks are around the league.
Obviously, you've done a lot of work on the quarterbacks. What's been your impression of this group as a whole, you know, from spending a lot of time with them? And also, with a guy like J.J. McCarthy, the concept of, from the outside, people are like, oh, he's rising up draft boards, right? They think that through the process, the combine, the pro days and everything, a player rises up. Do you view that as a case that, on a grand scheme of things, that guys do that, or is it you had guys already in those spots beforehand?
No, I think the rising is a thing like that can happen. Again, just not specifically quarterback only, but we were having a conversation about a player yesterday that we had some concerns with throughout the fall, but every step along the way they've answered the bell and continued to improve, whether it was an all-star game, combine, pro day, visit here, private workout, continue to answer the bell. So I do think the more you're around these players and you get comfortable with how they're wired and what they're about, like I do think you can give them, you know, the push up. And I think, you know, the quarterback class, it's a good quarterback class, and I think it's deep. And, you know, you look at some of the guys and, you know, the amount of games some of these guys have started and played. I mean, it's impressive. And, you know, you really haven't seen a class like that with some of the quarterbacks that have started and played as many games as they have at a high level. So it's been really fun getting to know these guys. Again, it's a unique position. There's only so many people walking planet Earth that can play that position at a high level. So really getting around these guys, we like to do it every year, and getting to know them, you know, I think is important. And it's not just necessarily this year's draft, but you look at some of the past drafts, some of the high picks at that position that were traded or became free agents or whatever it may be. I think the exposure coming out of college at that position is important. And again, not just for today, but you know, maybe they are free agents or they're going to be traded or whatever it may be down the road. So I think that's important.
Last one.
Mm-hmm. The combine, or after the combine, Rich Eisen went on his show and said that all he heard was a lot of buyer's remorse from the Giants. He didn't say mm-hmm. from whom, obviously, about the contract given to Daniel. And on Monday, Daniel talked to us and he said very confidently he thinks he is the best quarterback to start this season, assuming he's healthy for mm-hmm. the Giants. Where are you right now, maybe small and big picture, on Daniel Jones?
Yeah, like I said before, the expectation is for him to be our starter. Again, I don't have a crystal ball. I hope he doesn't have any setbacks. He's working his tail off. You know, one of the things, you know, you go back and you watch the 2022 season or, you know, all of his throws in 2022, like, he was a 25-year-old player that played at a high level, and we won 10 games and we won a playoff game. And I'm still confident in Daniel, the way he's wired, what he showed us in 2022. Again, did we have the best start to the season last year? Absolutely not. And a lot, you know, anything that could have went wrong, it seems like it did early on between injuries and some other things. So I've still got a lot of confidence in Daniel.
Does any part of you wonder who told Eisen that stuff?
Yeah, I can't worry. I mean, there's a lot. There's stuff out there all the time that's not true, and you really can't let it bother you. I've got a good relationship with Daniel, and we communicate all the time. He's here all the time, so we've got a good relationship, and we communicate well. And you know, if he has an issue or hears something or something that I think I need to talk to him about, you know, we do that often.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at price that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.